We do have a quorum.
Perfect. Okay. Okay, welcome everybody to the meeting. Let's do a roll call. Start with those in person.
Robert Emond, council representative.
Bill Brannigan.
Aaron Bress from the Port of Newport.
Donald Ballantyne.
Derek Tokos, city staff.
Sherry Marino, city staff.
We have two guests.
Robert Hayes, Newport County.
Jim Klein.
Janelle Goplin.
The Smith. The frog in her throat, sorry.
We move on to approval of minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Yep, I did. I did the last time. Having to review them in the old format. There were just a few very minor changes. Otherwise, they looked very correct. So I would recommend that we approve them. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Minutes are approved. And we move on to the discussion items. Number one is a new format for meeting minutes.
Sure, I'll go ahead and bring that up here. So moving forward, and this is a citywide approach. The city council and the various city committees are going to move to an abbreviated form of minutes. They'll look something like what you're looking at here, where there's going to be less information and narrative explaining actions. And so my advice to you as a group, if there's specific concepts you want captured in the minutes, I would recommend you make a motion to that effect, and the motions will get plugged in more or less verbatim in the minutes, so you capture that. The way this will work is there's going to be timestamps at each of these relevant sections on the audio and video recordings that are available to the public, and so they can go in if they want additional detail. And find those timestamps for the relevant part of the minutes and then get the additional detail they're looking for. Sherry, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think that covers it. It's going to be a lot more abbreviated than you are used to seeing, but again, if, like Derek said, if there's anything specific you want captured, please note it and we'll make sure it gets added.
Yeah, this was done because there are a number of city committees, and some of them were getting pretty far behind in terms of minute preparation, and we do have to have minutes of these. And so this was a way to address that. We good?
Sounds good. Okay, moving on to review draft resolution 4000, setting fees and terms of use of certain public parking areas. The first is establishing a meter citation fee.
Yeah, I brought up resolution 4000 on the screen, and I guess I could just kind of walk through it section by section. Most of what's in the resolution lines up with what you've seen at previous meetings in terms of the rates and time limits and things of that nature. The city council saw the resolution in draft form at its last meeting and set a hearing, a date for Monday to adopt the resolution. They understand that it would be presented to you and that you might make some adjustments between what they saw at their last meeting and what they see on Monday. As you know, the council's already put in place the administrative framework for the program, the demand management program we're rolling out on the Bayfront. And so this is the last piece that they need to do so that we can get this up and running. So There were a few things that I specifically called out in the agenda that I want to talk about, but I might as well just kind of run through it piece by piece here. The first section of the fee resolution talks about locations of meter and hybrid meter permit parking areas. And that's where, and then we just go through and list them out, and then there's an exhibit map. And that exhibit map is map that you've seen previously. The only change to the exhibit map was to reflect the adjustments you made to some of the parking, timed parking boundaries at the last meeting to carve out some additional free parking spaces. Section 2 addresses hybrid meter permit and permit time zones in a similar manner. Each of the zones, which you've seen on maps, is described in text form, so zones A, B, C, and D. The meter fees and dates of operation is under section 3. You know, again, that's stuff that you've seen previously on the working maps as at our various meetings. Same goes for length of stay. That's covered under section 4. One adjustment under length of stay, and Robert, I think it gets to a point you brought up at the council meeting. The way the regulatory signs are structured in the meter areas where meters are, it's 4-hour parking, and it's paid. Then it follows saying pay to park, you know, 11 to 7, you know, and then May to October. Okay, so in those pay to park areas, it's always a 4-hour time limit, and these are the areas along Bay Boulevard that have been 4-hour time limits for years. It's that it's pay to park in those specific time frames designated on the regulatory signs. When we move upslope, that's where we get into the 4-hour parking from certain time frames, unless you have a zone parking permit. And the question you had was, well, what about the other areas on street? Should it be 4? Should it be,
well, they're technically
16, like the lots?
Two questions, because when I was trying, I was at the Nine Neighbors meeting and I was explaining the Bayfront rollout, and
yeah,
people were confused about where it says you have to pay between, for 4 hours, 7 or 11 to whatever 6 p.m. it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where people like me from California were like, oh, well, that means afterwards you can just park there and you don't have to pay, because that's typically how meters are done. So there was confusion, and I remember we talked at the meeting, it's like, no, it's always 4 hours. But then I looked at the sign, and I guess I realized that in the back of my head, that was creating a little confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my main concern, is people are gonna read it, says, oh, I have to pay for 4 hours, and I can only park for 4 hours between the times that are listed, but at the other times, I'm free to park, you know.
I think that's gonna happen every day of the week.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, the city I came from was just like California. If it was outside the meter areas, it was a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So I thought there's a couple solutions. One, obviously, is it only applies for those hours, or we would have to either add another sign or something that tries to explain it. Those are the only two solutions I could think of, or I guess a general rule of amnesty outside of the hours.
Yeah,
that are listed.
You generally don't have an explanation of what the other hours are, because then it gets even more confusing with more signs.
Yeah, you don't want to be New York.
I think the one thing we did point out is that we have parking enforcement during the periods where we have the stricter regulations in play.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have parking enforcement at 2 a.m. You know, so,
right.
I mean, it's going to be enforced when we have an enforcement person available to do the work, and they're going to focus on those higher demand periods of time.
Right, and if that's the case, then what I'm just concerned about is someone parks at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 a.m. they got their ticket, which is before the hours start, and then they complain and say, it said I could didn't have to start paying until 11 a.m., and that's going to be their defense on the ticket, and that just creates a little overhead, you know, whether the judge believes it or not. But if it's only being enforced during those hours, then I personally don't see there being much of a problem. I don't know what the rest of the committee feels.
What is our parking enforcement officer's understanding about this?
If somebody parks, let's just take in front of Newport Candy, for example, right? It's 4-hour parking right there. If somebody parks, but it doesn't start until 9, right? It doesn't start until 9 a.m. So if somebody parks there at 8, I don't know that, right? And I can tell you from a judicial standpoint there, the judge is going to throw the same defense. How do you know they were there at that time, right? So as far as I'm concerned, until I see the car and until my LPRs grab the plate on the vehicle, that's when your time starts.
If you're doing a parole at, you know, 11 o'clock, or let's see, so you wouldn't be ticketing, are you going to be ticketing 11, 12, 1, 2? 2 o'clock would be the first 4-hour break if they have to pay from 11 to 7. So at 2 o'clock is when you do a parole, or sometime after. If you do a parole before that, anybody who has been there for more than 4 hours before 2 o'clock, those are the people who may be confused.
Well, and the other side of that too is if somebody gets there before I see them, there's no way for me to know when that person
for sure.
got there, right? So for sure. if somebody gets there beforehand, hey, they got extra time, right? It's not going to be 100% success rate of catching everybody who part. It's just when I observe them, and then after that, when my car, because I get notified with the technology that I have of where I need to go look, and if the car's still there in the same spot, then I make the decision of whether or not they get a citation. But if I could tell that they moved based on the before and after pictures, then that still falls on me to whether or not I decide to give them a citation or not.
But if you do a drive-through at noon, mm-hmm. okay, and somebody has parked and they haven't paid at all, mm-hmm. then they're subject to whatever
yes.
disciplinary thing we have.
Yeah, because they,
right.
yeah.
If you don't pay to park, then yes,
right.
you can get fined. Then
right.
Exactly, yeah.
And if they paid for 1 hour and you came at 12:30, they still violated that hour and you would give them a ticket.
Right.
So, no, I mean, I think that if the enforcement's not happening outside of those hours, I don't think anyone's going to have reason to complain about getting a ticket because no tickets are going to be issued.
Right.
My concern is just
the sign here reflects it, right?
Yeah.
4-hour parking, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. That means from 11 to 7.
Right.
That's when the 4 hours is. Outside of that?
Doesn't matter.
Outside of that,
freebie.
As long as they're not parked for any longer than 72 hours as written in the municipal code.
But technically, they could get a ticket for exceeding, like, if someone complained, say a shop owner said, oh, this car's been out there at 8, and I want a delivery at midnight, and so that exceeds the 4 hours, can you give them a ticket? What would the situation be under that scenario?
I mean, as Rob and I have talked about this, right? If I get called there and I see a car, I will take into consideration what the complaint is, mm-hmm. but until I get there, that's when I start the timer.
So then they would have another 4 hours to park, basically.
Because here's the thing. I don't know. It runs into several variables, right?
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Big thing being, how do I know it's just not somebody who doesn't like that person and wants to try and get them in trouble?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm the one who has to answer for every citation that I give.
Sure.
And so if I don't know for 100% that, okay, this car has been here exceeding the time limit, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give them a citation. Whether there's complaints such as that, until I get there and can actually verify whether or not that's true, but what's listed on the sign, that's what it is.
So it seems
like I just brought up the signs just so we can look at them, because I think there's a piece that we're not talking about here that we need to cover.
They look good.
These are the ones we have not. Newport Signs has the materials, but we haven't given them the green light yet to produce the regulatory signs. We will do that as soon as the council adopts a resolution and we know everything is finalized. But again, I'm going to point out this one here. This is the one, these signs are the ones that go where we have meters in place, Long Bay Boulevard, it, principally. And they're going to say 4-hour parking, and then there's a break, and it says pay to park 11 to 7, May to October, Saturday to Sunday, only November to April. So if it's Wednesday in the middle of November, it's 4-hour parking. Because it's not a pay to park period, but it's still 4-hour parking.
Yeah, it's still 4-hour parking.
This is the one that was throwing some folks. Yeah. And this is, these are the ones that are apply on the side slopes or up Canyon Way, you know, that area where it's 4-hour parking, 11 to 7 a.m. May to October, except by Zone X permit, which would be whatever your zone permit is, A, B, C, or D. We'll get those programmed out. So if it's November and you're parking in the Canyon Way lot, are you subject to a 4-hour limit? Or actually, Canyon Way lot's not the good example, because I think the lots we said we were going to put these signs on, 16-hour parking November to April, should we pair something similar to the streets?
Right.
Is, I think, the question there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only confusing part, but based on what Officer Valentine said, I really don't think it's a huge issue because we're not enforcing it
after some of
those time frames.
Yeah.
So my concern was people getting a ticket and thinking they didn't deserve it, not that we weren't catching people who deserve tickets. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of the people fighting it and that creating that animosity toward the program. But if we're not enforcing it in those hours, no one's going to be mad at it because they won't even know.
But so ultimately, I think with that too, any citation I give, people have the right to challenge it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's on me to prove why the citation was given.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about that to be.
Okay.
I mean, so that answers my question, and now I can explain it more clearly to people who are asking. I'm just, how does the rest of the council feel?
Yeah.
I mean, committee.
What the committee?
I think it's clear.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It makes sense to me, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then we will move along past length of stay. Section 5 deals with permit fees, duration, and availability. And this is all consistent with things that you've already seen.
Point, yeah. I had on that, Zone C permit, as an example, or B, any one of the ones that basically say 12-hour maximum stay.
Yeah.
But the sign says 16, so they're basically paying for 4 hours less. That doesn't make sense to me. I think they should match in length.
Oh, right. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay. I that's fine by me.
Yeah. So just to clear it up so that they know that they're not getting, you know, paying for less.
16-hour
maximum.
Stay.
That, to me, that makes sense.
Okay.
For the purpose, are we talking about the meter?
Would you make that a motion? Sorry. Janelle, for the purposes of meeting minutes, do we need to make that?
Well, motion? I don't think that we've actually covered the first site, the 4.2 first tab, which is establishing a meter citation fee. The other thing was just a discussion.
You know what? I think what we can do, I just wrote that down, is at the end of the resolution, I can read back where changes have been made, and you can make a motion to that effect. Would that make sense? Then it's just one motion.
Yeah, it makes sense to amend the motion, the draft per the council or committee's recommendations. That would be the motion at the end. That makes sense to me.
Oh, works for me. So back to Janelle. Janelle, what was your question?
No, I was just saying, so now we're doing the meter citation fee?
Yes, that's what I'm moving down to, Section 6. So I included an example in your packet of the current citation charges. So currently we have, for time parking limitations, you know, the 4-hour we have in the Bayfront now, the 3-hour in Night Beach, or the 2-hour in City Center. That's listed in there, I believe, at 20. And then it gets more progressive if it's not paid in a timely manner, and there's kind of 3 tiers on those. And then, you know, more serious, you know, infractions such as, I think, parking in a no parking area or in front of a hydrant or something, I believe those are 40. And then again, it goes progressively higher. I talked to the chief, and we thought 30 at a meter, overstaying a meter, made sense. It kind of lands in between. It's a little bit more serious than overstaying the time parking, as it probably should be. It's in the highest demand area relative to the little bit lower demand areas, not the slope.
Is the attachment that's in our packet, is that a current City of Newport parking violation citation?
Yes, that lists the fee, the current citation fees. That one pager has them kind of broken into 3 tiers.
It's the actual ticket that shows all of the
fine
amount it paid within. Okay.
Yep, based on the type of violation.
Okay.
We had not had a chance to talk about it. This is one of those things that came up in the context of putting the fee one, and we're like, oh, we need to address this particular issue. And
I think the fees are great. My only question is, do we need to add anything for towing or putting a boot on? Or how is that handled?
I believe that's already covered. That is covered elsewhere.
Else?
Yeah, because that's already, we already have existing regulations to deal with towing and booting. And,
all right.
So.
Cool.
Silence.
So we're still on section 5, right?
We're dealing with section 6.
So, okay.
Citation for.
I did have a question about that. The occurrence. Do we need to define what is an occurrence, or like when you cite somebody, is it let's say you get somebody who's just, they're going to do whatever they want to do anyway. So they park in a spot, they don't pay, and they stay there too long. Do you choose whichever? I mean, do you cite them for one thing? And that would be overstaying or violating the time limit? Or do you if they're there for 2 days, do you cite them for 2 days of not paying, or do you cite them for 1 day? The reason why is the port ordinances all call out that they're real clear about a violation. It defines that occurrence thing. So if somebody doesn't move after they've been directed to move, every day they don't move is an additional fine. I think the city's got some fines like that in other realms, but...
Well, this is intended to align with all of the other citations that are already on the fee schedule.
Yeah.
So I'd have to go back and look. That may not be defined on the sheet. I think it's defined in the code, and I'd have to go look into the code.
Okay.
And that's where we would address it, by code, not in an individual fee.
Right.
Because this is just setting the fee for a particular citation.
I got you. It probably does in the city's code. Because I can remember reading parts of the city code before where it spells that out.
Right.
There's violations that are a daily occurrence.
Right.
If you get them, you know, they continue on.
Yeah, that's in the municipal code.
Okay.
It wouldn't be something we'd put in a resolution.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else on section 6? Seem reasonable? Section 7, we hadn't really talked about convenience fees. I think really from our perspective, we either charge them for each type or we absorb it for each type. I wouldn't want to kind of split that up. I don't think that's, I have a hard time squaring the justification of we'll charge it in certain circumstances if they choose to use the pay station or text to park and not charge it in others like e-permitting. I don't think that makes sense to me. To me, it seems like we either tack on the convenience fees or we don't, which then means it just...
Why is it... you're talking it's 25 cents on a dollar? The convenience fee, if I pay for 1 hour... then I'm paying for actually $1.25. It's 25 cents per hour. I mean, not per hour, but per, if I'm only there for 1 hour, it's a 25 cent fee.
That's how it works.
It's a swiping fee. On
the but the credit card transaction is only 3 cents, not 25.
The merchant who's processing that payment, each payment, they're going to tag it for 25 cents. That's in their merchant contract. That's a lot.
Whoa, we signed that? Was that in the contract that we signed?
That is on every credit card that is swiped out there. There's a 25 cent fee on top of the 3%. Why don't take credit?
Who's charging us the 25 cents?
Processor.
The merchant,
yeah. that's the merchant who handles the transactions off the pay stations.
What merchant?
It's all merchants.
They're all going to have a convenience
it's
fee.
That's how
they make their money.
And it depends on who.
No, I know, but at the restaurant. Well, just okay.
I mean, is it T2 Systems or is it the bank?
No, that's a bank. And I'm trying to remember the name of them that we had to go with, because they handle both the text. They handle both the text apart transactions and the pay station transactions.
And they charge more for the texting.
Yes, because there's more involved in it. I mean,
they're gouging us. I mean, we all know that. We've all been on the other end. The toughest
one for me was actually the e-permitting, which actually does go through, and that was part of the T2 contract, which is the $3 or 4% of the purchase value.
I mean, I guess,
yeah.
Wasn't there a statistic that most people stay for like 2.5 hours or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty much mostly going to be putting in $2 or $3 worth every time. So the question is, do we raise the rate to like $1.10 or something per hour to try to recoup that, or does the city just eat that? I don't think it's fair to charge, in my opinion, the people.
I just feel like we need to talk about it.
So
I feel like we should go back and fight that, because, I mean, in the restaurant, we have a transaction fee, but the max is 15 cents. So I don't know if you can get them to lower it, but that's really high.
I agree.
40 cents is really high.
I mean, my opinion is I agree it's really high, and I think the committee might want to say, for renewal, look at a different vendor. But I don't think going back and fighting them is a possible thing right now.
Now, I guess one other way you could do it would be to charge some portion of it to the person, and then the other portion gets eaten by the city. I mean, that's one other way you could do it. But again, you know, however you think makes sense, we'll just structure it that way.
But then that gets a lot, you know, if you're trying to add on the processor fee, then you got an issue at the pay station,
right?
It's easier to do it with a card.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think it should be passed on to the consumer, because I feel they're going to see a price and that's the price they expect,
right?
And then they're not going to say, "Oh, why do I have to pay extra now?" All of a sudden,
I guess the flip side.
And additionally, I think that we never talked about this.
The person who likes to feed to do the transaction off the card. You know, I'll just three different charges. You know, I'll do a buck here, and then another couple bucks here, and then another buck there. That's three transactions. You know, should they pay? I mean, I'm accustomed to paying convenience fees on parking stuff. I've done that. I'm not arguing that we should. I think a cleaner way would be to absorb it in the fee structure, but I don't think the fee structure envisioned it quite like this. So you might want to do a minor tweak to the fee structure.
Right. Well, and that's why I think maybe instead of a dollar for the meter, if you charged $1.25, you're going to recoup that on
every transaction.
But
well, when it says to offset the vendor costs, a convenience fee of 25 cents shall be charged. So to offset the vendor costs, so is that convenience fee of 25 cents more than the vendor cost?
No.
Or is that's exactly the vendor cost?
That's what I pulled off their sheet.
Yeah,
so they're getting 25 cents plus they're charging 3%?
Remember, these are different. We're talking about different transactions here. The 25 cents per transaction to pay station for your debit or credit card. You know,
or 40 cents to pay on your phone.
There's no convenience fee. It's just you pay with coins.
Right.
Now, if we're talking about text to pay, now we're paying off a phone. They have a different fee for that. It's 40 cents per transaction. And then the other one has to do with e-permitting. So that's when they go in and get their electronic permit.
And that's the expensive ones.
Those are, yeah. You know, so that'd be $100 annual permit for a tier two parking area or through fleet. That could be big if you have a particular, say, restaurant has 10 employees that they're getting permits for. You know, that adds up.
Right.
Okay, Derek, I'm still confused because a while back you said something about the convenience fee was in addition to what the credit card company charges, which is 3%.
No, that is the credit card. That's what they're charging for each transaction. That's how they're making their money.
Okay, so unlike Janelle's restaurant where they just charge a percentage, it's just a set fee.
Right.
So for us restaurants, we pay 15 cent transaction fee per charge plus the 3% of the bill. Like right. we pay both.
Okay, yeah, no, and what I'm saying is they just have a straight up convenience fee per transaction on the.
Okay, so there's no percentage.
No percentage, correct.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've done anything from a business standpoint, but back in the day when I used to take credit cards at a business, it was just a percentage, period. There was no convenience fee.
There's always been a swiping fee.
Well,
there's been a swiping fee for a long time.
Yeah, if you go back far enough, yes. But that's before the 3% and all that stuff. They weren't giving 1% back to the customers. They were that company was taking all of it.
Yeah.
So they were making their money there. Once they started giving the percent back to the customer, now they've got to come up with another way to make money. That swiping fee is how they did that. It's just like if you deposit $15,000 cash into your bank, you pay $100 to $200 fee a month for money over, even though you're bringing them guaranteed funds to the bank. There again, that's the banks doing their things.
Right. That's how you're correct. And I was in banking, so
yeah,
understand how it works.
While it's included, it's included in the resolution for purposes of discussion. If you don't want it, which is fine, we pull out that section. I want to be clear about that. But we needed to get it in here so you had an opportunity to talk about it.
Right. Because
When you say we can pull it out, do you mean we just don't charge the customer and the city just pays for it?
Well, it comes out of the revenues, so we just get less revenue.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
75 cents instead of a dollar.
Right.
Correct.
Now you could choose on the to bump up the rate slightly to offset some of it if you want to or not. Or you just tag them with, say, the convenience fees are passed on to the customer. I mean, really, those are the options.
Right.
But I mean, we're doing this not to make money.
Money, right? And which is why we're not shouldn't be pissing off the public.
Yeah.
So,
I think if you charge a buck and we gotta cough up
75 cents,
that's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
And then, like I said, if we don't like it at the end of this contract, you can always go back and renegotiate.
Right, and if we're having issues with being able to pay our bills with it, we up our. You know, the revenue is there just to cover the cost of enforcement and to make improvements in the parking area. I mean, that's what it's for.
Right.
So if we're not pulling in what we need to pull in, we can always have a conversation about going from a buck an hour to a buck 10 an hour or a buck 25 an hour.
Right.
Yeah, I think that we should not make the customer pay. I think that it feels like sneaky to me. I don't like it. And I think that we should omit it.
I agree.
So in order to achieve that, we need to remove Section 7.
Yeah, which is fine. We can do that.
So do we need a motion on that?
Well, I would advise doing it at the end because we're making changes to a couple other spots too. That's fine.
Derek, we can always review these policies in a year or so, right?
Absolutely. All right, so pull Section 7.
Yeah, I like appearing that we're hospitable as much as possible as a city.
We didn't have...
We're the friendliest city, according to the billboard.
According to the sign.
And we had had our discussions about rates. And the, I mean, the parking study, too, didn't really even get into convenience fees and that kind of stuff. So these are were something, I mean, as we locked in our, you know, or had to get our merchant account set up so that we can actually accept transactions, this is when this stuff comes up.
Yeah, we don't want to add to the city signs the friendliest, except for we charge you for it.
I already didn't say that. We charge you for it.
Hidden fees all over the place.
All right, next up, I think on that was we'll move to
the
Section 8.
Parking time.
Section 8 just talks about us running a temporary courtesy permit. Remember, we talked about this from January through April. This authorizes it because it's only going to be offered on a temporary basis. We need to get it in the resolution. Section 9 talks about stuff we actually put in the code, but I wanted to just reemphasize it, so we had it in the resolution too, which is the city manager has the authority to offer courtesy permits, such as, you know, promotional events, things of that nature. So, you know, half a dozen free parking opportunities with a coupon code during the winter, that kind of deal. On the last Section 10 is the last one I want to talk to you guys about. The city typically adjusts fees as any jurisdiction should be adjusting fees based on inflation. Now, typically we would do that with fees annually. I don't know that parking fees really make sense to tackle it annually, but we probably want to tackle it at least once every 5 years to account for inflation and do a bump up to deal with that.
But we can do it more often. You're just saying at least every 5 years, but if we want to do it
say we have rapid inflation, that never happens. Maybe policymakers want to do that more frequently. But at least once every 5 years seem to make sense to me.
I mean, my opinion.
Okay, but back to my other point is this says as needed to account for inflation. But what if it's as needed because this is the first year we've done this and we've decided it doesn't work and we want to make some tweaks along the way? Does the code allow us to do that, or are we stuck until there's a change in inflation?
Good point. No, we could. We'd have to adopt a new resolution. Maybe we want to work that language into Section 10. That's a good thought.
Yeah. Sure. Nice point.
Personally, I think they should just review it every year, even if all they say is it's fine. But at least look at it. I don't think putting it off, personally. But I don't have a huge, like, oh, we must do it every year.
So fees must be reviewed for potential adjustment annually. And then a separate concept being, and that just says they must be reviewed annually and may be adjusted, annually. But then the second concept is for purposes of inflation, at least every 5 years.
Sure.
And that way, Joanna, it gets your comment, your concern gets covered under concept one, and then concept two picks up the 5-year inflation piece.
Yeah, this first year in particular is going to be pretty interesting. See what happens.
The other thing is we're dealing with, you know, typically when we do inflationary adjustments, sometimes you're just bumping something up a penny or two pennies. We didn't want to deal with that with pay stations.
No.
I mean, you want to do something that's more like, okay, eventually we'll hold it a dollar for a while, and then at some point it goes to a dollar and a quarter.
Right. You know? Yeah. I did have one other issue with section 5.F, where that's the commercial fishing day use or single use. Permit.
Okay, let's go back up there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't
know
where it's set. You just passed it.
Oops.
$10 for the 96-hour maximum. I understand that's if they forget to get their permit in advance. I'm just concerned that, you know, it feels like it's more open to abuse of captains saying, oh, we only need one of these, so let's get the $10 one the one time instead of a monthly one for $45. That's my concern.
Okay, so I'm just thinking this out here. So, I mean, the reason we're offering this, remember, this is going to be on a QR code that we're sending laminated QR codes out to the vessel owners and operators. And this is intended to address the circumstance where they got a last-minute swap out,
right?
Deckhand,
sure.
That they didn't anticipate needing, or you know, one of their regular folks couldn't, and they had to get somebody in. And so they don't have a parking permit. They show up and they got to park, and so you know they hit the QR code, they pay their $10 fee, and they get their one-time occurrence.
Derek, this is available by invitation only. Who issues the invitation?
We're going to work with the port to confirm that they're actual operators or owners, and then we'll do an email invitation out. So we'll get the contact information from the port, and then we'll manage the email distribution list.
Okay.
We being community development at this point. I'm struggling to figure out how that would be something that would be abused, because it strikes me that they're going to want the 45 a month generally, because they're not going to want to pay for each deckhand $10 a pop. So I'm not seeing the real risk for abuse there. I'm trying to visualize.
Well, I'm thinking maybe they are planning on going out at the end of the month for a week, so they know they'd only need that 1 4-day period, so they pay $10 instead of 45. And then the next month they'll pay 45 for the whole month, or other scenarios. I don't know if that's a realistic scenario. That's just what came to my mind. That's why I wanted to bring it up to the committee, because I don't know if it's really an issue or if I'm just imagining a problem. There is none.
Well, but is it an issue under that scenario you just gave? I mean, they're basically paying for what they use, the spots available to anybody else the rest of that month.
Right. It's a one-time occurrence.
No harm, no foul.
I'd say leave it and we can monitor it.
And we can monitor it, yeah. That's
and then we can always adjust it if we see issues with any of the permits.
Sure. So we'll see, we'll have like counts of how many are issued and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have that data. So we'll be able to say, okay, we've got X number of commercial fishing permits for zones, what was it, D and B, and then we'll be able to tally up how many of the single use permits are utilized. Okay.
No one else seems to think it's an issue, so I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be hard to take advantage. I think they would still buy the 45.
Sure. Just for convenience. Fair enough. That was my only other concern.
Okay. So here's what I have. I would, on length of stay, I would ask for just a little bit of leniency for us to clean up if we need to, in comparing it with our code, the off-hour timeframes. So a little bit of flex there, we'll get it cleaned, that piece cleaned up before council gets it. But all of the regulatory length of stay stays as discussed. And then section 6, you were comfortable with the citation as outlined. Section 7, the convenience fees gets pulled. And section 10 gets further elaborated, where fees must be evaluated and may be adjusted annually. And then an inflationary look is to be done at least once every 5 years. And I'll rework the language in that manner. So it'll be two different concepts. Does that accurately reflect what we discussed?
Yep. I make the motion that we adopt all of the bullet points you just outlined.
Second.
Oh, you got it. Okay, the motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Moving on to finalize Bayfront parking management.
Okay, I'll move to that item. Oh, the FAQ. So this is an updated FAQ. I've got it in draft form. We produced the English and Spanish versions for outreach with Bornstein. Have not had an outreach session with PAC Seafood, just their management. I've reached out multiple times and haven't been able to get that lined up. I'll try at least one more time on that. Oh, and just so you know, I am going to be meeting with the Historical Society towards the end of the month to cover this with them, because they have some parking they lease to the port, and I think they just want to get a better understanding how this is going to work. So basically what I've done is I've gone through the FAQ you've seen previously, and I've added in changes that have been made over the course of the outreach. One of the biggest is this section here, when will changes go into effect? As we've discussed, the stations and new signage will be installed and active weekends only beginning January of next year. In December, the city will roll out a free courtesy e-permit that will be effective from January to April. The paid electronic permits will then be required effective May 1st, and the pay stations on May 1st then shift to 7 days a week. That, as we've discussed for a few things, the courtesy permit period, it makes a lot of sense in that we don't currently have this type of program in place on the Bayfront, so it gives us some time to get people who will want or need permits into the system. We'll get a better sense of what the permit demand is in the various zones, and can talk to you about that, recognizing we'll probably have a little bit more demand because a free permit's a free permit. Paid permits, some of those folks may not want to do that. But the other is we're going to have to do a little bit of hand-holding with businesses and commercial fishing operators on the fleet side as they get their fleet permit stuff sorted out. And that gives us a little bit of time there as well to get that piece debugged and working properly before they have to go back in. And the nice thing about the courtesy permits, and we set it up, as we've talked about, we'll set it up so that people who have a courtesy permit get an automatic email notice in advance so that they know when the paid permits become available. And the paid permits would then, our expectation on paid permits is they'd be made available in April, beginning of April, so 30 days prior to.
Do we need to, on here, we talked about it, disabled, people that have disabled parking placards or license plates, that they would be exempt from having to pay?
I thought the code change said that if you had a handicap, you could park at the pay meter for free.
Right. Well, I'm thinking,
should we put it, try to find it on the FAQ, put a place for that in the FAQ?
Put a place for that in the FAQ. I mean, this is what,
sure,
people aren't going to read the code.
Right. Yeah.
You know. And then I have one other.
I agree. I think it should be in the FAQ because it is a common question, and we do have a lot of people here who have those type of permits.
Yeah. One other thing for the committee to consider. Should we also exempt people that have license plates indicating that they have a purple heart or a bronze star and above. I mean, we just had Veterans Day and being a veteran.
That is a code change at this point. The council adopted the code already that deals with exemptions. We can't do it in a resolution.
Well, I mean,
remember when we went through that list of all the circumstances where different, parties would be exempt. You know, the ADA issue, disability issue was discussed at that point. Same with,
I mean, there's no federal requirement, but I know some cities have. I don't know about Oregon, but in some other cities,
we can certainly bring that for further discussion. Bill, we can pull some information on what other jurisdictions have done and put it on for a future meeting for you guys to talk about it. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you're talking about kind of a military either discount or full-on exemption?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that, there's a lot of people in the military, like me and Aaron.
Question for Officer Valentine. Would your LPR be able to recognize that easily, or would you have to, think about that?
Well, it's on the back of their license plate.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
So it wouldn't be an issue for you making it harder or easier or anything?
No, because it takes a picture of the plate, and then it's up for me to review it. So, I mean, some of those details might get lost. When you look at the Smoky Bear plates, for example, sometimes it doesn't recognize the SB that's on them. Same with Crater Lake, the Crater Lake plates. Okay. Sometimes it doesn't read the CK, so it may not recognize if it's a silver star or a purple heart.
Right.
Type situation, but
well, if it's on the Oregon plate, the plate is white, and then on the left hand side of the plate they've got
a little heart.
The commendation.
Right, yeah, but I'm still saying even though it's a white plate, even the plain yellow, the E plates that we have, the yellow ones, even that one, it sometimes doesn't.
Interesting.
It all depends. It depends on several factors that lead into that, such as where is the plate located? Is it located in an easy part that it can read, or is it tucked in under a lift gate? So then now it's trying to figure out what's a shadow and what's a number. There's quite a few factors but it's still on me that if I look at it and go, okay, cool, that's a silver, it's a silver star or purple heart, do not enforce, right? It still gives me the option.
Okay.
So.
I apologize for moving it along, but I am wanting to do that so that I can go pick up my son as soon as we are done. So can we move on to the implementation update if we have no other changes to this?
So it sounded to me like there was one change you'd like to make to the FAQ, and it's to get the ADA exemption concept somehow worked in, right? Okay.
So then do we need to finalize it with that? Is that what you'd like? Yeah. So I move that we finalize the Bayfront Parking Management FAQ with that addition included.
I'll second that.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. And we move forward to the implementation update.
You've seen the schedule. I'm not going to put it back up there, but as we just discussed, our target now is to get these pay stations installed and up and going in January, so once we clear the holidays, and we'll run that courtesy permit over that period of time. So once the council adopts a resolution, assume that happens on Monday, we will then have Newport Signs produce the full palette of regulatory signs. That's going to take them a few weeks to get that done. Our public works folks still have some of the sign posts in to install. They're not all in. Only the contract work is done. So there's some additional posts that will be installed. We will shift our outreach to, instead of soliciting feedback on this, it's going to now be, this is what's going to happen. This is when it's going to happen. This is when these permits are available. This is where you can get them. That kind of stuff. So you can, our public works folks are going to be programming through December to get the last of the sign work done, with an eye towards doing the regulatory sign swap out at the last minute. They also have to install the pay stations. The concrete pads have been poured, but they'll be drilling in the bolts and then installing each of the stations. And that'll probably happen shortly before go live. Our IT department is wrapping up a design for security cameras, and we'll be trying to get an agreement in place with PUD for the first council meeting in December, that might slop into the first meeting in January, because council only has one meeting in December. But our expectation is that we're going to want to get those security cameras up and installed on each of the pay stations once the pay stations are put on the pads and ready to go. We are still waiting for the mobile pay signs. We're at about 50 of them that'll be mostly installed on the light posts. So that's something we're tracking, and because we need to get those reasonably soon so that those are available to our public works staff. And let me think. We have kind of the last round of our training on the cloud back end of this whole T2 system coming up in the next, what is it?
About a week out? Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
And that's good. And so that's one of those that actually has probably staff from our office, police department, and I believe we have an individual from finance that's in that too, because it covers all those gamuts. And we're working with finance and T2 on the how we're going to have to batch some of the financial data so that it gets sent to the city so that it can be reconciled with our books. You know, so those are the pieces that are in play as we move and get closer and closer to go live day.
As far as the community outreach, my hallucination, I guess, is that after you meet next week, if the city council adopts this as the FAQ as well with those changes, that we would want to send this out as soon as possible so that people have this by the time the meters go up.
Yep. In advance of that.
So is that going out with the electric bill?
We can look at doing a utility billing. I think we're going to want to do more than that. I think we're going to want to get that information out directly to affected businesses and interests on the Bayfront. I mean, you know,
I can volunteer if you're interested. I can, I would say two things. One is we're doing a ton of stuff with AI, and so we're putting bots on our sites. They're not up yet.
Yeah.
If the city's interested, I'm happy to share details and information. But a city bot on the website that could handle any questions would be great. In addition, we're also creating a ton of videos with AI where you just put in the PDF and it makes you a video. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to put all of this information in to create several different videos, share them with you guys, and see if you are up to doing that. I'm all in on the AI, so I'm happy to volunteer.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, Janelle, if you want to, I'm happy to coordinate with you on that. If you can pull something together and talk to our IT folks too, if we need it, you know, if I understand you correctly, cross-pollinating one of those bots onto the city's website.
Well, no, it's super easy to build a bot if you know how to do it, or you can hire a company to do it. But all you do is preload all of your information, you know, put it on your site. You could even put the whole city, every document, and it can resource it. It can index it. It can know all of the answers where somebody can just ask it a question and it comes up. I don't want to get too into it, but I can walk through it with you at another time. But anyway, I might just geek out tonight and upload this and create some videos just to send to you guys to look at.
Oh, perfect. That'd be great, Janelle. And then we'll look to leverage social media as best we can and look for your help too, to get the information out, you know, as broadly as we can as we get closer.
Okay. So ticket collection?
Yeah, we're going to, we have some concerns about our capacity, the city's capacity to adjudicate parking citations that are going to result through these changes. Not just Bayfront 2, we're going to see an uptick in Nye Beach, for example, just on the time parking, because it hasn't been really effectively enforced for a while. And so we're going to see more tickets, and we may need to assist on collections. And so there's a proposal in that we've received from T2, who's our vendor on the rest of this stuff. And they basically get their fee through the collections process, you know, and that's how that's structured. And I believe I included a proposal there. We'll be our plan is to talk to City Council about that and see, you know, where they're at on that concept. But I want to at least give you a heads up that we're thinking about that, because we're making a pretty big change here and it's going to have an impact on that back end. How much, we don't know yet, but we suspect enough that we're going to want to adjust how we handle collections.
So, Derek, it looks like they've got a 30% fee of some sort.
That sounds about right. I haven't done a deep dive on that yet, Doretta, the materials I showed.
Well, do they have a minimum for entering into this type of agreement? I mean, do they have to have something to cover their basic costs and then charge a 30%? Or is it just straight 30% should they have to go after somebody?
I think it's a straight 30% should they go after, because they kind of work off of a critical mass across multiple clients.
Okay.
I think it's great. I like I've said before, the port, we've been charging for parking for a couple of years now, and you may not make, I mean, it's not like you're going to, they may charge you that, but it's imperative to make sure this is how you tie together everything and make sure it sticks, because otherwise, how do you handle it when you have scoff laws that just won't pay? It's much more difficult to deal with those situations with, you know, trying to deal with property issues or cite them again than it is to just send it to collections and let collections do what they do, because people will eventually remit the payment or it'll get settled and they will stop doing what they're doing. It's really important because we go through it all the time in court.
So, Derek, do you need our input on this evening, or is this just more of a notification that you and your staff are exploring it?
Just more of a notification at this point. What's up?
I was asking if she leaves if we still have a quorum. She's got to pick up her son.
No, we don't.
Okay.
But, you know.
I heard you. It's good.
We don't, you know, but we don't have to do the demo right now. We can do that at the next meeting. It's not critical. I think you've all seen e-permitting portals before, and so it's not that big of a deal. But we do need then to shift to public comment. We do have two folks here. If we can do that.
Is everyone okay with doing that and moving the e-permit user portal demonstration to the next meeting?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Then we move to public comment.
Great.
Jim, Rob, you guys have anything you want to show the group? This was the opportunity.
Because I'm the public.
You're the public.
I'm the public. I just want one clarification. And you mentioned on the 12-hour, 16-hour, which is it going to be?
Oh, we're shifting for the off period.
For
the maximum stay.
Maximum daily.
What I heard the committee say is they want that shifted to 16 from 12.
That's what I heard.
Right.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Those
in those sections only.
In those sections only. Right. Or one, two, whatever. Okay.
Where the permit's correct. Where permits are an option.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Thought you had Jim?
Okay.
Okay. Rob?
I can go on for a long time, but I'll try not to do that. So as a business owner down there and a landlord and property owner, okay, I'm trying to identify where our employees are going to have the right to park and understand what the permits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a conversation with you, Derek, about if you buy an A pass, you can't park in a B pass, you can't park in a C if you have an A, and vice versa. So
right.
My biggest worry that I have is, you know, in the candy shop world, I have a lot of employees. The Doodlebugs has a lot of employees. My tattoo renter does not. He's got a couple of people, and that's it. The manatees down there, he's only one guy showing. He doesn't have an employee. So, but what we've been paying on businesses, the $200. So I just kind of drove the waterfront. You know, I've been down there my whole life, 35 years. And I'm looking at about 50 businesses licensed that are down there. Is that right, Derek? Pretty close. It's 50. It's at least 50, if not more. I didn't count the fish plants, so I don't know if they were paying a parking fee.
The plants do, yeah.
Okay, so then it's more than 50. So in easy math, at $200, you're giving up 10 grand that was guaranteed money that you were getting a year on from the businesses.
13,000, because fish plants pay a little more than those, but okay. You're right, you're in the right. Same ballpark.
You know, simple math, graduated from Cooper High School, pretty easy, I can figure it out. But I figured 10 grand, so you're telling me 13, okay. So going forward with what we're doing, now what you guys thought you were going to get a dollar, now you're waiving the 25 cents, so now you're getting 75 cents, straight up, because there's a swiping fee. That's across the board on anything. That's why I don't take credit cards in my candy shop, because I sell a 50 cent sucker. And they walk in with a credit card, and I just give them the sucker. It's cheaper for me just to give you the sucker. I'm going to go in the hole if I take your card, so I don't do that. So when you have those small amounts, which is a dollar or $2 or $3 or at the max $4, you've got that set swiping fee, and then there's 3% on top of that. So you guys, they still have that. It still goes into effect. So it's not just the swiping fee. You still have the 3%. So you're not losing 25 cents. You're losing the 3%. Now, at $4, that's minimal, right? But if it's a $200 item or a $400 item or a $500 item, it gets big. Janelle, well, you're talking about your restaurant on your swiping fees, because I own a restaurant also. It all depends on how you get with the bank. And in turn, they're all going to set you up that fee because that's the max they can do. And then if you prove that you're bringing X amount of revenue, you can get that fee to lower down. Mm-hmm. So I ran into that with my restaurant. I was set high, and then I proved my concept, and then over the years, mine has come down. So you're going to have opportunities, depending on where you're going with this, to try to, you know, go at some other companies and see what, you know, I use Heartland.
Yeah.
Heartland is the best one out there by far, and that's on the restaurant side. I take credit cards over at my candy shop over there, but I have items in my candy shop over there that are hundreds of dollars because I have a gift shop attached.
Mm-hmm.
Candy shop in the waterfront, I don't have that. So that's that whole swiping fee, and I'm familiar with that. I've dealt with it my whole life. My biggest worries I have is where are my employees supposed to park?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I can bring in my my golf cart, and I can shuttle. And if that's what I have to do, then that's what I'll do to a point. I'm already working 7 days a week, so just add that to the top of the thing. But there again, I'm going to need a place to park my truck and trailer to unload my golf cart to be able to go and still have time to be able to run and do my thing. So, you know, my biggest fright is you're taking away all the places where we've parked. My crew doesn't park on Bay Boulevard. None of my employees park on Bay Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Donald can vouch to this. He knows for a fact there's owners down there right now that park across the street on Bay Boulevard in a 4-hour parking, and they sit there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we ticketing them now? Why are we allowing that to go on?
Mm-hmm.
That is just ludicrous to me that we allow that to go on. It's the law. You have it posted. It's 4-hour parking. And they just abuse it. You have an officer now.
Mm-hmm.
When the other officer, which I knew, not team, but the other guy that was doing it, he went down there and dealt with it and took care of it and ticketed them. There's revenue for the city there that's not being done because they abuse it. They don't care. They park wherever the hell they want. They do it all day long.
I think he's been ticketing.
None of those ones. I mean, Not a crossing gate. I've never seen a ticket on any of those. And then the other thing you guys said about the boot, I've lived here my whole life. I've never seen a car in this town with a boot on it ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. I got a RV sitting across in South Beach right now. They just started dealing with it. It's been sitting there for over a month. Mm-hmm. Okay? They just started dealing with it. So...
Yeah, Rob, I'd have to defer to the police department on booting. I do know that they had to adjust practices relative to FRVs because their RVs are places of habitation, and so you run into that with some of the recent court decisions. No, go ahead, Janelle.
Oh, I was just going to say, Rob, we just to let you know, we in the last meeting and the one before, we were very conscious of and aware of your concern about where your people are going to park on the bayfront. And at the road right by your shop, the top of the road, that is no longer paved.
That's perfect.
You know, so.
Okay, so that is different than the meeting that I had with Derek.
Yeah.
So I did not know that.
Yeah.
So just wanted to let you know that's been changed because of your feedback. So we did listen and we implemented a change in that so that, you know, it's not a paid lot up there.
Yeah, I can walk through some of the changes.
But on this map that I'm looking at, it's still highlighted in yellow as a paid zone C.
Well, there's lots and what she's talking about is Herbert Street. You know, the street that goes up next to your shop there. And where the building where you have the apartment,
right.
That street is what she was talking about.
Okay,
those 28.
This map gets confusing when I look at sometimes.
But and I can walk through these, but what the that's this guy.
Okay. The map that I have over that you gave me, that was highlighted yellow.
Yeah, that's been changed.
Okay.
That used to be part of this.
So I come to this meeting, I didn't know that.
Right.
Okay. And then the other thing I talked to Janelle about was with my apartment above my candy factory, which is Harry's old building that I bought and did a complete remodel on. I will need tenant parking passes that I guess you have them in Night Beach. I'm going to need some of those for either my tenant or if we sit here and have this discussion about allowing me to do it as a vacation rental. Which was what it's ideally for, to move more traffic through the
waterfront. Vacation rentals is a different credit.
I know, it's a different world, I understand that. But there again, I'm paying the power bill, and I mean, I guess I'm the tenant until it's rented, so I need permits for that. If they're doing it in Night Beach, which that's what I've been told, I need to get with you and get some for me and my wife, and if I have to call that residence, then I'll call that residence.
Yeah, we don't have we don't generally have residences in the bay along the bayfront anymore. We just have a couple apartments, and I can think of and then maybe three of them, and then we've got a small boutique hotel, Anchor Pier, which we have this program to work with, and so you know it's going to be one of those circumstances where they'll need during the off hours. Park in an area that's not regulated, or you know, get one of the less expensive annual permits if they want to park in one of the tier two areas.
There is no. Just to be clear, the residential is not addressed yet. It's coming up in the future.
Yeah, Night Beach is going to have to start paying for parking too. We just haven't had that conversation yet. We got to get through the bayfront one. There's only so much bandwidth we have. To tackle these things. We'll tackle Bayfront first, and then Night Beach, they'll be paying monthly or annually or whatever gets worked out on their permits.
The ideal thing is it being a vacation rental is what would be ideal.
And I hear you.
You know, and that's for transition as in new customers for all the businesses on the waterfront. Them coming, staying for the weekend, there they are, they're customers for the waterfront, and moving on, they move, and then the next week someone new comes in. It's not a resident,
it's the same person. Yeah, on that one, Rob, I would encourage you to drop a note to the council. Because that's just.
I understand. I know when I got to go there and start with what you told me. My thing is I'm just trying to figure out parking for that residence, because if you do not allow me to have it, other than being an apartment.
Yeah.
Now we have an apartment that I need to get passes for or whatever so that my tenants aren't taking another bill on top of their rent bill, their power bill, their garbage bill, their this, that, so forth. And, you know, so the view will get you only so far, but it doesn't create money for you to pay the bills.
Well, that would be, I mean, so you're talking about like a zone B permit for your tenants is what you would want? Or because I don't see why that wouldn't work
well,
right now.
Now with you telling me that they're not going to meter the street next to it, my tenant would be good because they would definitely park there. Well, the business owners aren't there. But there again, you can only handle X amount of spots up that hill. It's going to fill up pretty quickly. And then in turn, now you have, 50 business owners that have X amount of employees that don't have places to park. So just by leasing that one strip, that isn't enough to cover what we have down there.
Yeah, our expectation is it's going to change some of the parking behavior. I mean, that's why we're even doing this. And so some folks, I'm going to use the example that you said. You've got business owners who are parking in these prime areas for the better part of the day. Are going to have to change that parking behavior and park somewhere else.
Well,
so you're going to see people choosing to park a little bit further away where it's free, or paying for one of the, either the tier one or tier two permits, depending on what they feel they.
I don't know. I mean, I was already paying $400 a year with Doodlebug's business license and a candy shop's license. So I've already, making sure that I can get the passes is the biggest thing. As long as I can get them and they're available, because I start seeing these numbers put out. And, I go 50 businesses, let's say 3-4 employees per business, things are taken up pretty quick. And then in turn, I'm not down there on the waterfront. I work south. So I come down in the morning, I do my stuff, and then I'm gone. I'm normally gone by 11. So it's not really going to affect me. But the problem that I have is if one of my employees calls out, one of this, that, or so forth, then I immediately have to go down and cover that shift. Now I'm automatically put down on that waterfront.
Yeah.
For a 10-hour shift, if I'm getting there, because it's open in the summertime. And then the other thing that I was going to throw out, starting this thing in January, do you guys realize that December and January are the slowest 2 months on the waterfront? I can show you numbers all day long to where we don't even make enough to pay the freaking employees, let alone the power bill down there. 2 days ago on the waterfront, my store did $160 in that brand new building. Just a mindset of what we're dealing with. Okay? And that was open for 8.5 hours.
I mean, that's why we're having the break-in period in the off-season, so that it's not like a million tourists all of a sudden.
Don't get me wrong. In June, July,
January of every year, January always will be only on the weekends, once it's in effect.
Right.
Right. But even our weekends in January are atrocious. That's the only time that we can make enough money to pay the 5 days prior to that didn't make any money. So, it's just what it is. I've got numbers all the way back from 89 down there in my candy shop. I can tell you how many customers I had January 15th of 2001 or 89.
Wow, that's good information.
I think it sounds like you've been sitting there during the whole entire meeting, so thank you for that and respect your time.
The only reason I'm not on this board or up here is because I coach baseball and I'm doing new stuff. So I'm constantly doing that, so it's really hard for me to sign up to do that. I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, soon to be 12 and 14. Right now they want me to be part of their life, so that's more important than me coming up here and running
for
city council or mayor or any of that stuff, because I'm going to spend time with my kids.
Well, thank you for your feedback and your comments. Derek said, please do make a note and send it to city council. All feedback is welcome.
When is
and
the next thank meeting, Derek?
Next Monday.
Mm-hmm. Next Monday?
Thank you for coming. The comment period is usually 3 minutes, but we gave you a little more because we think you're cool.
I was hoping to sign cards because I was going to sign one as Newport Candy Shop, Doodlebugs, RTH Rentals, and the tattoo place because I'm representing them and Manatee. So if it's 3 minutes, I can sign 5 or 6 cards. It should give me a little bit more time. Sorry. You need to go pick up your kid.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for your feedback, though.
Yep.
Is there anything else? Any other public comment or any other issues?
Nothing else.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, on the short-term rental stuff, anytime with the council, just reach out.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to be meeting with the resort.